Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Yotes. We will begin at the Mishnah on top of Daf Yotes Amud Aleph. Interestingly, the Mefarshim say there's a background to this Mishnah. We know that in the history of Klal Yisrael, there were times that Klal Yisrael weren't able to really fulfill all of their religious requirements, and they had to come up with ways of circumventing those decrees. And our Mishnah will discuss what is still considered a kosher get. Says the Mishnah, "Bekol kaisrim, you can use all types of material, all types of ink to write a get. The diyoy is black ink, which is the ink that's always discussed that the halacha requires. Davdi Nezer points out that Shabbos, we know there's a concept of avos and toldos. And as we're going to discuss later in the Shir Mitzvah Hashem, Shabbos, kaisiv, writing is a malacha. So avos, the av is to write with black ink, and the tolda is to write with any other ink. But why forget is every other ink acceptable? So the Avi Nezer says a very nice explanation. He says, Shabbos, really the only thing that should be usur is what was in the Mishkan. Comes the Torah and tells us, toldos are also usur on Shabbos. By get, the Torah tells us, writing, you have to write the get. So as long as it's considered writing, there is no reason why it has to be strictly b'diyoy. What makes diyoy special? Because it's black ink. So Surah Chasam Sofer asks, if the point is that it's black ink, the Gemara should always use the word b'shachar, we should use black ink. Why does the Mishnah say b'diyoy? So he says a very nice answer. We know that when you write a Sefer Torah, even if you write it with black ink, after many years, the ink is going to start getting discolored. But the halach is that as long as you started with black ink, it's 100% fine. So if the Mishnah would have said, or the Gemara would say, b'shachar, so then the halach would be, if it gets faded, it's not good. So that's why the Mishnah says, b'diyoy, as long as you started with black ink, it's fine. B'sam is paint, b'sikra is red ink, b'kumam is some sort of a gum, or b'kankatam is ferrous sulfate, or b'chol davishu shakayama. Anything that is a permanent writing. The Divrei Meir says that the order that the Mishnah mentions should be followed. That means first use the yoy. If you don't have the yoy, then use sam. If you don't have that, so on. Ein kaisven, however, we can't use to write a get. Loi b'mashkin, not all types of liquids. V'loi b'mei peiros, not with fruit juice. V'loi b'chol dover shenim skayim, something that doesn't remain permanent. So sort of Shoshana Mudavid asks that the Mishnah is not sort of consistent. First, the Mishnah says it has to be Dovah Shel Kayoma, and then it says it has to be Dovah She'enim Eskayim. It should say, V'loi B'chol Dovah She'enim Shel Kayoma. So he answers that the reason the Mishnah changes its wording is to teach us that there are two types of situations that could disqualify a get. One is that the ink is not a permanent ink, and the other is that the ink is permanent, but the material on which the get is written on is not permanent, then it's also disqualified. That is all included in the words, Dover Shenim Skayim. The Sharm Tshon Balocha discusses what is the definition of Kayoma. It has to be permanent. What does permanent mean? So he says, as far as Hilchah Shabbos, many times in Hilchah Shabbos, by Kosher, for something to be considered Kayoma, it has to be able to last the entire Shabbos. By Gittin, the definition of Kayoma, he says, is that it has to be able to remain until after the get is actually given to the woman. As soon as if it lasts that long, it's considered kayom. Ala kol chayson, you could write to get in all types of material. Ala ola shel zayis, on a leaf of an olive tree. Val keren shel para, on the horn of a para. The noisel is a para, but you have to give the para. And the Rishonim point out, you could write to get on a keren shel para. We're going to learn the Gemara, but you can't write to get on the keren and then detach the keren. Because that would mean that there's a action required between the ksiva and the nesina, which would disqualify the get. So what do? You give the entire para to the woman. But the Rishonim say, since that's not normal, usually a person just giving a get, he's not giving the para. If the husband is intending to give the para, he has to tell the wife, I'm giving you the entire para so that the get should be effective. The Mefarshim ask that the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that a keren shel para cannot be used as a shofar. Because the keren shel para, the way it grows, is that it grows layers. Every year another layer grows. And the din is shofar echad amar rachmana. The Torah told us to use one shofar, v'lo shtayim v'shlo shofar. It's not a number of shofars. So the Torah says the same thing regarding a get, we'll learn. Sefer echad amar rachmana, v'lo shtayim v'shlo shofar. So why could a keren of parah be used as a get? So I saw a number of answers to this question. One is that this Mishnah doesn't follow that opinion. Another is, by a shofar, when you're blowing the shofar, you're using all the layers. A get could be limited to one layer. You could write the entire get on one layer. And yet a third teretz is as follows. A shofar, as soon as the keren of the parah is formed, it's already a shofar. Then every year it adds a layer. So not shnayim v'shalosh shofars. A keren of parah is not a get. You decided that it should be a get. When you decided it should be a get, it was made out of all these layers, so it's one shofar. Similarly, a yad shel eved, you could write the get on the hand of an eved, the nice and nice eved, but you have to give her the eved, and you have to tell her you're giving her the eved. I saw a very interesting Hilchus Ketanis. The Hilchus Ketanis says that if somebody is using the hand of an eved as a get, and he didn't yet give the get to the wife, then the get still has a lot of value, then the eved who has the get written on his hand can't go from Rishus HaYochet to Rishus Rabim or vice versa on Shabbos, because it's going to be considered that he's carrying. Other Rishonim and Mefarshim disagree, because the get that's on someone's hand is bottled to the hand, and therefore he could certainly walk out Shabbos, Rishus HaYochet, Rishus Rabim. Rabbi Yosef agree with Yomer, ain't koisim loyal dovah shesh perichayim, you can't use something that's living, v'loyal oichem, something that's a food. Machlokes Rishonim, what does a food mean? Most Rishonim mean that any food, even if it's only a machal behema, is disqualified. Others say that it has to be a machal adam. Diyoy, what is the definition of diyoy? Diyusa, blacking. Sam is sama, is paint. Sikrata, sikra, omrava babachana, sakarta shema, it's redding. Kumis is kumis, a gum. Kankantam, omrava babachana, Amashmul, Chadata de Ushkafi, which is ferret sulfate, which is used as an ingredient in shoe polish. Uvachal Davashu Muskayim, Lasuy Mai, what does it come to add? Lasu Hadatana Rabchanina. Kosu Maitruya, as Machlokesu Maitruya is, some Rishonim say Maitruya is that if rainwater collected on the roof of the house and it gets a color from the dirt, and others say that it's if you soak fruit in water, it gets a color. The aftza is the gulnut, when gulnuts are steeped, the kosher. Tan Rav Chiya, kosva be'aver, if somebody wrote with lead, b'shochor is with charcoal, u'b'shichor is with shoe polish, black shoe polish, in all these cases it's kosher. Mechloikus Rishonim, what Rav Chiya discusses, these three items, does Rav Chiya mean to say that they're kosher l'chatchila? Or does Rav Chiya say that if I don't have the other items that we've been listing, then you could use these, but not that l'chatchila we should use them? Itma, had mavidiyoyo gabas sikra b'shabbos. We know that on Shabbos, there's an isser, two melachas. One is kaisif, not allowed to write. Another melacha is moichik, that you're not allowed to erase. Now the melacha moichik is a melacha that we need to think about. Because we know that on Shabbos, you're only chayiv for a melacha if it's a constructive act. If it's a destructive act, it's not also on Shabbos. Moichik, by definition, is erasing. So it's a destructive act. So why are you chayiv for moichik in Shabbos? The answer is, the only time you chayiv with the raisis for moichik is moichik amanas lichtoiv. Only if you erasing with the purpose of writing. If you just moichik without any menas lichtoiv, you're not chayiv. So says the Gemara. If somebody puts black ink on top of red ink, everybody agrees, Rav Yochanan, Rav Shlokish, Dar Metavayu, chayiv shtayim. You chayiv for kaisif, you wrote with the black ink, and you chayiv for moichik, you erase the red ink. Because everybody agrees, as we've been saying, that black ink is superior to red ink, and therefore, this is considered a maisa ksiva with the black ink and a maisa mechika getting rid of the red ink. However, but what's going to be the halacha, the yoya gaba the yoya, if you wrote black ink on top of black ink, or sikra gaba sikra, red ink on top of red ink, there everybody agrees that you're potter, because you haven't accomplished anything. You haven't really accomplished anything. Sikra gabadiyoy. What happens if you put red ink on top of black ink? Amli chayiv, v'amli potter. Everybody agrees that this is not a maisik sivo, because red ink isn't superior to black ink. So I haven't corrected, I haven't made better the writing, and therefore it's certainly not considered ksiva. The shaila is it considered mechik or not? Amalei chayiv v'amalei potter. Amalei chayiv, moichiku. I'm erasing. The bottom line is that I have the red ink on top of the black ink, and the red ink is concealing the black ink, and therefore it's considered moichik. Amalei potter, because I made it worse than it was. I have red ink instead of black ink. That's a mekalkel. As we said a moment ago, mekalkel is potter b'shabbos. The question is, how come it's considered moichik? If it's, what is the explanation of the man dom that said it's chayiv, if I'm not doing anything better? So I saw two explanations in the Rishonim. One explanation I saw in the Rishonim is that the bottom line is that I will eventually not be able to stay this way. I will not leave with the red ink because the red ink is inferior. So this putting on the red ink will ultimately lead me to putting on black ink. So that's why it's considered moichik. That's one explanation I saw. Another explanation is, right now I want red ink for whatever reason, even though it's inferior. And therefore I'm concealing the black ink, and therefore it's considered a moichik amnas lichtayv. This Gemara actually is used by the Shalos HaTshuvos B'Tzel HaChochma to discuss a very interesting shaila. We know, we're going to discuss this actually more in tomorrow's shir, that a tattoo, ksoivis kaka, is osa midaraisa. But we have people who don't know or aren't religious, and they make tattoos. And then when they become Balei Tshuva, they're very bothered with the tattoo that they have. And what are they to do? They, obviously, if you could somehow reverse it and have it removed, that would be great. But not always is that possible. And sometimes the tattoo has an inappropriate picture, inappropriate words. And what are they to do? So the B'Tzel HaChochma uses our Gemara to address that shaila. And he says that if I just go and make a tattoo, so he says a few conditions. He says, first of all, a Jew shouldn't do it. You should go to a guy. Second of all, what the guy should do is not make another picture on top of the original picture. You haven't accomplished anything. Is that he should just take lines, make straight lines over that original tattoo. So it's like Al Gemara. When your second writing doesn't improve the first writing, it's just considered moichik. It's just considered erasing. The issa the Torah gives for tattoos is making a tattoo, but not erasing a tattoo, and therefore that would not be considered making a tattoo. And he suggests, based on this Gemara, again, if there's no option to do it, says the Gemara. Baramine Rish Lakish from Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question: Eidim she'edim yoidim lachtem, Eidim that don't know how to sign their name. So what do we do? Can we, based on the Gemara that we just learned, go write with red ink, and then they should put black ink on top of the bottom ink, which we just learned is considered ksiva. Ksav alyon ksav is by putting black ink on top of red ink, is it considered writing or ain't ksav? Or it's not considered writing. Omalei ain't ksav. It's not considered as if they wrote their name. Omalei. So he says, how come you're saying that? V'loy l'maratanu rabbeinu. Didn't we just learn a Gemara a minute ago? Ksav elyon ksav elyon Shabbos. That if somebody wrote black ink on top of red ink, it's considered, as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned, that he wrote. So why are you saying it's not considered writing? Omalei. So he responded, v'chim epneish onam edamim nasa maisa. So way Rashi, most Rishonim, explained the Gemara is as follows. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't really quite certain if putting black ink on top of red ink is really considered writing or not. So as far as Hilchos Shabbos, he was machmer. And he said, since I don't know, don't do it. However, Rabbi Yochanan will agree that if somebody did it, he wouldn't bring a carbon chatas, because he may not be mechuyev a carbon chatas. And bringing a carbon, when you're not obligated to bring the carbon, is a question of bringing chulin lazara. So he says, don't do it, but you wouldn't bring a carbon. On the same token, Rabbi Yochanan won't tell you that you could write a get that way, because he's not quite certain, is it considered writing? Is it not considered writing? And therefore, it's not considered a proper way of writing a get. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. But it's interesting to note, the Rambam doesn't learn the Gemara that way. Because if you look in the Rambam says like this, if you write black ink on tapping on black on top of red ink on Shabbos, it's considered kaisif. But the Rambam says if you write black ink on top of red ink for signing a get, it's unacceptable. And we need to understand the Rambam. He's being inconsistent. Is it kaisif or is it not kaisif? So I sort of mafarshim explained the Rambam very nicely. Shabbos, what is asur? Melechus machshavas asur Torah. Your intention was to write, and this is considered writing. And therefore, it's asur on Shabbos. By gittin, it's not just that your intention has to be fulfilled. You have to do a maisik siva. And the Rambam says that black ink on top of red ink is not considered a maisik siva. That's why the Rambam's opinion could be understood. So now we're still with a dilemma. We have Edom that can't sign the get. What do we do? Itmar, so we learn. And we learned this Gemara already. Edom, Sheni Edom Lachtoin. Edom that don't know how to sign the name. Rav Avam Mekamlam Noyach Cholik. We etch out with a sharp instrument on the clean, their name on a piece of paper. Umalam Esakrom Diyoy. And here we have a Machlokas Rashi in Tosfos, how to understand what this means. Rashi, we learned this already. Rashi says what it means is, we take a sharp instrument, we etch out with that sharp instrument the names of these Edom, and then the Edom go with ink and put their names, fill in those etchings. Tosfos says that he can't agree with Rashi's pshat, because once the names have been etched out, that's considered a signature. And if it's considered a signature, so it's like diyoy al gabe diyoy, which is not a ksiva. Obviously Rashi holds, explained the Mefarshim, that taking a sharp instrument and etching out a name is not an acceptable way of writing a get. And therefore, is not considered writing, and therefore he doesn't have a problem. So what does Tosfos say we should do? Tosfos says we should do something old-fashioned. We make a stencil with their names, and they fill in the letters. But the Yerushalmi questions that approach. Because what is special about a signature? What's special about a signature is that every signature is unique. I sign my name the way I say my name. Were you to sign my name, you wouldn't sign my name the way I sign my name. So if I'm just taking a stencil and filling it in, there's nothing unique about that signature. So how is it considered a valid signature? So the Yerushalmi says what you're supposed to do is, you're supposed to prepare that stencil and have the Edom fill in the letters. But they don't have to fill it in perfectly. Sometimes they'll put in less, sometimes they'll put in more, which will create a unique situation, which is considered a signature. The Shmuel Amar, Shmuel gives a different advice, what to do with these Edom that can't sign their names. Be'ever. Let first put their names down with lead, and then let them sign their names on top of that lead. Ask the Gemara, Be'ever Salkadaitach, is that a legitimate approach? V'tana Reb Chiya, Kosva Be'ever, B'shochor, B'shichor. We just learned on top of the Amid that writing with lead is a legitimate way of writing. So this is certainly Diyoy Gaba Diyoy. How could Shmuel suggest that that's acceptable? Answers the Gemara like Hasha. Hoba Avra, Hoba Maida Avra. And the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is like this. If you just use lead, lead is not a way to write. So writing on top of lead is considered writing. But if you took the lead and you mixed it with water and you turned it into ink, that's the way of writing, and therefore somebody writes on top of that, he hasn't really accomplished anything. Rav Avuama, B'mei Milan. You should take gulnut juice. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that you should write on top of gulnut juice? V'taner of Chanina, we also learned before, Kos B'mei Tarya, V'aftza, Aftza is gulnut juice kosher. As the Gemara, loy kosher. Hoda ofetz, hoda loy ofetz. It makes a difference if you already treated that paper with gulnut juice. If you already treated with gulnut juice, so then that gulnut juice, putting gulnut juice, as we'll learn on Amud Beis, on top of gulnut juice is meaningless. And therefore, you could not use it as a way for Edom to write. If you didn't do that, then the main meal would be considered a ksav, and then the Edom can't write on top of it. She'ein meimilin agabe meimilin. Putting meimilin on top of meimilin doesn't really accomplish anything. Rapapa gives a different piece of advice. Beroik. What you should do is to sign these Adam's names with saliva. Saliva is certainly not considered a way of signing. And then have the Adam sign on top of the saliva. The Kain Oyole Rapapa Lapapa Tura Beroik. That you should do this. So the Machlakis Rishonim. The Gemara just gave us four methods of how to deal with the situation that the Adam can't sign the names. So how do we look at this? Do we look at these four opinions as arguing with each other? Or that the four opinions are giving us four different methods, but every method is acceptable to the other opinion? It's interesting that I saw from the Stei Chemed that he gives another piece of advice which he says the Gemara doesn't give because it wouldn't be acceptable. He says, why don't we have somebody help move my hand? Now, somebody should... So I can't sign my name, so you should come and sign my name, move my hand for me. Says the Stei Chemed, the fact that the Gemara doesn't give that method is a right that that's not called signing your name, and that would not be acceptable. However, says the Gemara, Mahani Mili, when do we allow this to happen? Begitten. By a get, we are lenient. And two reasons why we're lenient by a get. Rashi, and it's pretty clear that's what the Gemara holds, Vishimiguna Kilbarabonin. Chazal Wamekel by getten. The Rambam says, because really the Edom that sign a get aren't required, because we know Edom is Sirik, aren't they? So Edom Sima, not the primary Edom, and that's why we could be more lenient. Av B'shtaris, in a regular star, we wouldn't be lenient. The Huda of the B'shtar Shtaris, there was somebody that acted this, that did this by a regular document, the Nagdir of Kahana, gave him Malkus. Tanya Kavosi the Rav, we learned in a Braisa with Rav's method, Edom she'edom loydom lachtoim, if the Edom aren't able to sign the name, mekaren lam nai cholok, whatever pshat we follow, or malam es akroam diyoy. Amram shimon gamliel, b'med v'amramurim, when do we do this? Begitei noshim, strictly by getting al b'shechur avodim, when it comes to a shtar shechur, or shah koshtar, so all other types of documents, im yoydom likreis lachtoim, if the Edom know how to read and sign chosmin, then they can sign. Laugh, and if they're not able to, we don't let them sign as witnesses. Ask the Gemara, Kriya Man Chashmei. We've been talking about Edom who can't sign the names. All of a sudden, the Bryce now starts speaking about Edom who can't read. What happened here? Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Bryce. Edom Shein Edom Likrois. If Edom don't know how to read, Karim Lufneim, we should read for them. And after we read what it says in the shtar, chosmin, they could sign the shtar. So Rishonim, we had this Gemara before, asked the question. Tosfos asked the question. If Edom can't read themselves, why isn't this considered a situation of Edom mipi Ed, which is unacceptable? So the two primary answers given to Rishonim. The main purpose of the Edus here is to say that this is a get. And these Edom, even though they don't know how to read, are able to recognize that this is the get that the husband gave to the wife. So that's all required. And therefore, even though they're not able to read it, if we read it for them, it's not considered Edom mipi Ed. Another teretz is because it's a milsa David legluya. Ultimately, there's going to be somebody that's going to read it and be able to see what it said. Which this machlokes rishonim really is connected to another machlokes rishonim. Here our Gemara is clearly discussing Edom who are unable to read. The Gemara says the Edom who are unable to read, we read for them. The question that the Rishonim discusses is, what does it mean that they can't read? Doesn't mean that they're totally illiterate and still as we can read it for them. Or the other Rishonim say, if they're totally illiterate, that wouldn't be acceptable. The question is that they're not that familiar with reading, but they know something, then we can rely on their reading. Amr Rav Shimon Gamliel, B'medvar Mamurim, B'med B'gitei Noshim. When are we lenient by Gitei Noshim? Av Shechuri Avodim V'Shakol Shtaris, regarding all other documents, in Yodim Likreis V'Lachtoim. If they can read and write Chosmin, then they're qualified witnesses, M'mlav in Chosmin. Amr Blazer, my time Rav Shimon Gamliel, why are we so lenient by Gittin versus all other documents? Shlo Yehei B'nois Yisrael Agunas. Because we don't want Jewish women to be Agunas. So I saw a fascinating tshuva from the Marsham. We know that on Tisha B'Av, not allowed to learn. Says the Marsham is writing a tshuva on Tisha B'Av, and it's a tshuva for Heter Agunis. And he says that even though it's Tisha B'Av, when you're not allowed to learn, I'm writing this tshuva because as we see in our Gemara, how Chazal went out of their way, out of concern for an Aguna, and that certainly is allowed to be done on Tisha B'Av. And they go on to explain, we are really being matter and Aguna on Tisha B'Av is exactly what Tisha B'Av is all about. Because we're in Tzaris also, we're in Golus, we're in Tzar. So just like if we will have Rachmanis on this woman who's an Aguna, and we'll have Rachmanis on our Tisha B'Av, hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have a Rachmanis on us and also take us out of our Tzaris. Amar Rava, Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Halach is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Gamda Mishmei, the Rav Amar, ain't Halach. The Halach is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. El Kman, who are you following? The opinion, Kerabonin. Ask the Gemara for who the Ovid of the Bashar Shtoris. There was somebody who acted, who held like the Rabbonin by all the documents and said that by all documents we could be lenient. The Nagde Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana gave him Malkus. So I saw the Mepharshim ask, Rav Kahana is an Amoira. So too are the other Manda Amrim, Amoiraim. Amoraim could argue with each other. So why just because Rav Kahana Paskins one way, is that an issue? So the Mepharshim answer that throughout Shas, we know that Rav Kahana is considered a Gavra Rabba. And therefore, even though he's an Amira, there is no right to argue with Rav Kahana. And when somebody argued with Rav Kahana, it was a question. And it says, the Gemara, Tirgma Akriya. That means as follows. Regarding reading, the inability of Adam to read, and that we learned that, this is what most Rishonim learn, this is what Rashi learns. If Adam can't read, not only are we lenient by a get, that we read the get for him, for them, the same is by all stars. Regarding Adam who can't sign their names, there everybody agrees with Rav Kahana and Rav Shimon Gamliel that if the aid can't sign his name, only by a get will we be lenient with the various methods that we discussed. By other stars, if he can't sign himself, he should not be used. Others say just the opposite pshat, but we followed Rashi's pshat. Says the Gemara, because of this, Rav Yehuda, as he got older and his eyesight got poor, mitzdar, he would strain himself, curry to read what it said, v'chasim, and then only would he sign a document. Amalei, Ula, so Ula told him, Letzrichas, you don't have to go through this bother. The Rav Elazar Mardar Yisrael, Rav Elazar was the most chashuv Rav in Eretz Yisrael. The reason why he was called Mardar Yisrael, Rashi says, is because he was a specific expert in Hilchas Nida, and therefore he was called Mardar Yisrael. Karakamei, he also, as he got older, could not read, so Adam read for him, V'chosim, and that's how he signed the document. Rav Nachman, similarly, Rav Nachman, as he got older, Karakamei, Safri Daini, the cipher in the Bezdin, read for him the document, V'chosim, and he signed it. However, says the Gemara, Dafka Rav Nachman, V'Safri Daini, this le'imsa. The Gemara says to rely that the Dayanim, or the Seifrim, I'm sorry, are reading accurately from me what it says, you have to have two qualifications. One is Rav Nachman was a very important person. Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Bei Nesia, so people were frightened of him. Furthermore, these Seifrim worked for Rav Nachman in his Bezdin, and therefore they were very careful with him. But let's say you had a situation of Rav Nachman, but it wasn't his Seifrim, it was Safri Achrina. Or you had Safri Daini, you had these Seifrim, but it wasn't Rav Nachman. So there, that level of fear isn't there, and we have to be concerned if they're being honest in what they're reading, and we can't accept it. Says the Gemara, Rav Papa Ki Abosel Kameh Shtar Persa, Rav Papa, if a shtar written in Persian came to him, the Ovid Bakar Shalkutim that was made in non-Jewish courts, He would take two kutim, one without the other, and they didn't know why he was asking them to read what it said. Ask them to read what it says, and if they both unknowingly, without knowing why I'm asking them, read what it said, and they both said the exact same thing, it was a proof that what they were saying was honest, and then he considered the shtar completely valid, that it could be used to collect if it was used even for mishubadim. Machlokes rishonim, how to understand this gemara? Some rishonim, interestingly enough, say that whenever we're going to rely on mesiach l'fi tumay, we need to have two people. You can't just rely on mesiach l'fi tumay with one person. Others distinguish between a Jew and a goy. By a goy, we need two people. By a Jew, one person, that's mesiach l'fi tumay. In the situations that mesiach l'fi tumay is to be trusted, is enough. I actually saw that this is the basis for a very common psak, the Rabbonim say. The Shemit Shem Balacha says this. So sometimes you have an issue that there's a question if a person can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av, and we have to follow what the doctor says. So if we have a religious doctor who understands what Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are, and he still tells the person, you can't fast, so of course he's not allowed to fast. But sometimes you don't have such a doctor. You have a doctor who's not Jewish or isn't a religious Jew, doesn't have the appreciation for these days. So, yeah, I'll tell you, go eat. It's not that important to him. So what should you do? Says the Shem Hashem Locha, you should go ask two doctors, one without knowing about the other, ask two opinions. And our Gemara teaches us that sometimes two opinions should be followed. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar, said the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Leir Funa Bar Nosin, Hochi Amar Meimer, Hai Shtar Parsa, a Persian star, the Chesim Alei Sadi Yisrael, that was signed by Jewish witnesses, Magbinim Bar Mishabadi. You could use to collect even from Mishabadim. Ask the Gemara, V'layad El Mikri, the Jewish witnesses can't read what it says in the shtar. So how can we consider it a valid shtar? Says the Gemara, B'diyadi. They are able to read Persian. Ask the Gemara for being ksav sheni yochel as daif. For a document to be considered halachically acceptable, it has to be a document that's written with ink and on parchment that can't be forged. Veleka, they aren't careful with this. So the Gemara about dafitzin. Did you use that kind of a paper that was treated that you can't forge it? Ask the Gemara for being tzorach lahachser minyonel shashtar b'shita achroin of veleka. The loch is that for a shtar to be valid, the last line of the shtar cannot contain any new information. And the reason is, because typically when Adam sign a shtar, they leave a little space between the shtar and the signature. And we're concerned that somebody's dishonest is going to put in some new conditions or new information. And therefore, the last line of the shtar should only be used to review what it says previously. It says the Gemara, b'demahadim. It was written that way, where the last line was just a review of the previous. Machlokes Rishonim, I think we quoted this already. What happens if you have a shtar that the last line isn't a review of what says previously? Some Rishonim say that it disqualifies the shtar entirely. Other Rishonim say all it does is that the last line, you can't use the information in that line to as relevant information, but it doesn't completely disqualify the shtar. Says the Gemara, so what is the chiddush? If everything is perfect, so why isn't the shtar good? Says the Gemara, the kol lashon kosher. The chiddush of this price is that a valid document can be written in any language. It doesn't have to be lashon kodesh. Says the Gemara, that we know already. Tanina, get your kosher. Ivris, if the get was written in Hebrew, v'ed of Yevonis, or vice versa, Yevonis, v'ed of Ivris, kosher. So we know that all documents don't have to be written in Lashon Kodesh. Answers the Gemara, Imahi Havamina, if I only had that price, I would think, Hanimili Begitten, as we've been learning all day long, Mishimiguna Akila Barabonin, Avil Bishtar Shtaris, regarding other documents, Loi, there I would think that it have to be specifically Lashon Kodesh, Kamashman, that they don't have to be. The Rishonim say that in order to be able to use this Shtar Pasah, it has to be a Shtar Pasah that was processed and written in a non-Jewish court. But if it wasn't processed in a non-Jewish court, then certainly it cannot be used to collect Mishabotim. Om Shmuel, Nosla Nai Cholik. If a person gave his wife an empty piece of paper, Vamalei Hareza Gitech, and he says, this is your get, the Gureshis. And as Tosfos explains, the situation here was that the Edim Asira weren't standing that close to the husband as he was giving his wife the get, and therefore, there's a concern that therefore they couldn't tell if there was any writing, meaning as follows. If they were standing right next to the husband and they saw that the piece of paper was empty, we wouldn't be learning this piece of Gemara. The get would be disqualified. Here, because they were standing farther away, we just don't know. Chashinim, v'shem v'meil and kusvay. Because we have to be concerned that maybe this get was written with May Milan, that got absorbed into the paper, and the words were there, and they're no longer there. And then now we can't tell them. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Hareza Gitech, somebody gives his wife, says, this is your get. The not levezarkasol yamalar, and before she actually could examine it, he throws it into the river or to fire, or the choldava of it, he destroys it. So first he said it is a good get. And then he said it was a shtar pasim hu, shtar amonim. Remember from Masechet Ksubas, shtar pasim means sometimes a person wants to show that he's wealthy. So he has documents that say that he's owed a lot of receivables. Or shtar amonim is just the opposite. It shows that somebody's willing to lend him money. So the halacha is megureshes. Since he said this is a get, she has to be considered megureshes. He can't now say it really wasn't a get. So what do we see? Talmudic Ksav. There was writing. Everybody was able to recognize that there was writing on this document. Halek Ksav. But if there was no writing on the document, loy. So how could Shmuel say that if we have a document that has no writing on it, it should be considered a valid get? So the Gemara, ki kam Shmuel, what is the case that Shmuel is referring to? That be kinel b'may denara. Tosfos explains, it was very interesting what they used to do. This was the first invisible ink. They used to write with May Milan, and how do we know if this was a get or not? They would then soak the May Milan to get the document that was written with May Milan in pomegranate peel water, and see if the pomegranate water that was made from pomegranate juice, and that would cause the writing to come out. E-pollet, if we see writing come out, so it's a get. V'loi polit, laf klamu. So the Gemara, v'chi polit, even if it does emerge after I put it into the solution, hashtu de polit, but when the husband gave his wife the get, there was no writing. So how could Shmuel consider that a valid get? Says the Gemara, Shmuel nami chashin kama. Shmuel doesn't mean to say that it's certainly a valid get. What Shmuel means to say is that when we have a situation that a get was given and the paper looks blank, and then we put it into this solution and words emerge, so that doesn't mean that she's for sure divorced. We treat it l'chumra. We don't consider her divorced, but we don't consider her free. We don't consider her an Eishes Ish either. He has both chumras. So if we learn this Gemara, we have to discuss for a moment invisible ink. And is a visible ink considered writing or not? There are many poskim that discuss this shaila, and the tshuva that I found most interesting is the tshuva of the Har Tzvi. He takes the following approach. He says there are two ways that if you have something written with invisible ink, because the shaila comes up if you're allowed to use invisible ink on Shabbos, or if you have a document written with invisible ink, are you allowed to make the ink emerge in Shabbos? So the Har Tzvi says as follows. There are two ways that you can make the invisible ink emerge. You could have the case of Al Gemara, that you have to put the document with invisible ink into a chemical solution. And sometimes you don't really have to put it into a chemical solution. You just have to expose it to heat, and then the writing will come out. So he says, in a case where you have to put it into a solution, so the original writing is not considered writing since you used invisible ink, only when you put it into the solution, that's considered writing. But if the ink emerges through heat, but not requiring any specific solution, then the original writing is considered writing, and using the heat is not considered writing. The Shaila comes up, many Paiskim discuss this question, it used to be quite popular that they took the temperature with such strips that they put on the forehead, and if the person had a temperature, one color came out. If the person didn't have a different temperature, another color came out. Sometimes numbers came out or different things came out. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos or not? And according to the Har Tzvi, again, I'm not paskening, it may be that it's mutter. This Gemara is also relevant to many Shilas. I'm just going to mention two. Rav Moshe, Rav Avadya Yosef, the Mishnah Halachas, all say a very common Shila. If you have a tape, you have a CD that has on it Shem Hashem, you taped a shir with the Vritaira, you taped somebody davening and saying the Shem Hashem, are you allowed to erase that tape? And they say that our Gemara is saying that something that's not visible is not considered there, and therefore there's no Isser of Mechikas Hashem when you erase the tape. Interesting also, I saw from Rabbi Yashiv, the Shaila that was asked to Rabbi Yashiv was Hatzolah members traveling on Shabbos. So we know a Hatzolah member that takes somebody sick on Shabbos is allowed to do what he has to do, but he's not allowed to do what he doesn't need to do. So he's allowed to program his navigator on Shabbos to get to the hospital. So Rabbi Yashiv, again, if it's not necessary, it shouldn't be done. But it could well be, based on our Gemara, that's not really considered writing, because it's not considered permanent, and therefore, if it is at all necessary, it may be done on Shabbos. Amar Ravina, Amar Le Amemer, Hoch Amar Mereimer Mishmei Dravdimi, Hani Beitrei, the Yav Giti Kamayu, two witnesses that saw get given in front of them, Tzarech Lemikri, they should read it before it's given. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, we just learned the Braisa, Hareza Kitech Venotlus of Adzakus Uliyam Al Or, Ulakal Dava Ovid, the Chosva Mishtar Pasam Mushtar, Manuhu, Megurashis, Vlokaman Al Asra, how come? They have to read it. The Amrit, Sricha Lemikri, Basta Kariu Mitzma Al Malachi, if they read it, they would know what it was. As the Gemara, Lloyd Sricha, the case that the Braisa is referring to is, the Basta Kariu Ayla Bayode. He had a document, and they read the document, and the document was a get. Vafke, and then he takes the document and he puts it in his sleeve, and then he takes out another document. Matatay mechalufei chalfa. Should we be concerned that wasn't the original document that they used? Kamashmo, and then we don't have to be concerned. Halacha lemaisa, the Rishonim say that, and the Paiskim say the right thing to do is that the Edom should read the get before it's given, and then after it's given. However, reading it right before it's given or right after it's given is certainly adequate lahalocha. The Paiskim also say that if the Edom have a tefias ayin on the get, that would also be sufficient.